Good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of The Last Knock, your friends in horror since 2013, and your friends in pandemic since 2020. And it's been a while since Billy and I last actually talked. We had a bunch of shows in the queue, and we both went through a couple of... The two of us had a lot of life happening. I know I did, which we'll get into. And we were thinking, what would be a good way to get back into the groove of doing our little podcast thing here? And the one idea that sprung to mind, and also your mind, was just doing a COVID checkup or check-in show. So, by the way, I'm Johnny Numb, and joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host,
Billy Crash, and there will be horror-related elements, so don't think we're just going to be two guys, like, sitting on a porch talking about, times are tough. It's going to be a little bit different than that.
Back in my day, we handled pandemics differently. Yeah,
yeah, you did, by ignoring it until everybody was dead.
In any case, yeah, so we did do a show. I feel like it was back in March, maybe, where we were talking. It was at the beginning of the COVID-19 outbreak.
Yeah.
And we kind of offered, we just kind of were offering our whole thoughts and our feelings and, you know, how we thought things might change. And, you know, the thought of coming back to this sort of is kind of a touch point. And, Well, have things changed? You know, what's going on out there in our respective necks of the world? And, you know, what are some of the encounters we've had, you know, with certain things that have sort of made us more hopeful or perhaps made us a little less hopeful? You know, we'll get into that sort of thing. But Billy, do you have anything you'd like to start us off with? I mean, I know
nope.
I wouldn't. Well, all right. That's been our show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, thank you for tuning in.
No, you're the guy with the bigger news, man.
Well, you had big news too. I'll ask about your thing after I talk about my thing.
All right. Talk about your thing, man.
Well, on June 13th, me and my girlfriend moved into a new place. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And it was the result of months of having a poor neighbor situation at our previous domicile that we just couldn't abide anymore.
Right.
And sort of an opportunity presented itself, and things came together within a matter of like a week or two. All of the between us looking at the place and us signing off on the lease and us getting the keys. So it was kind of a very high stress sort of thing. But I think we wanted to get it moving relatively quickly because my girlfriend was concerned that, you know, despite the fact that Pennsylvania was slowly phased back into the green, at least in most places, we were concerned of the potential for a resurgence in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So our thought was, well, if we keep protracting this long enough, we might not get any further and we might still be stuck in this situation through fall and winter, maybe if the quarantine comes back into play. And I'm kind of glad we did what we did ultimately, because it looks like that quarantine is probably going to come back into play sooner than we anticipated. By the way, we're recording this show on July 8th. So, you know, moving is always stressful. It was stressful getting the old place packed up. But I'm really fortunate because my girlfriend is just extremely organization-minded, very task-centered. So she keeps me on task and helps me with stuff. And I like to think of myself more as tell me how to fill up this box and I'll do it because I trust your judgment. I'll do that. If you tell me what to do, I'll do it. Mm. But I can't be trusted to do it by myself and make it logical, basically, because my mind doesn't work that way. So we packed up the apartment, most of it, what we could, pretty quickly. So we had a couple, like a week or two, where there were just boxes sitting all over the place. And it was very unsightly and very overwhelming. And yeah, because it's just like, you can't really, it's hard to do much of anything. And you're just exhausted from packing boxes and it was hot.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah, this time of year. So, I mean, we lucked out on the 13th, really, because it had been hot for the week leading up to it, but it was like 75 the day we moved into the new place. And we had about probably a dozen people come and help us out. So things really went quickly in terms of the packing and getting the stuff to the new place, unloading it. We only had to make one trip back to the old place with the U-Haul to pick up like a couch and a bookshelf and a few other things.
That's good.
Yeah, they really packed the U-Haul tight for the first go-round. So, you know, it was a really busy day, but we really got stuff accomplished quickly. And, you know, I was just really appreciative of all the help we had. And I said to Audrey, you know, we really do know the best people because, you know, I'm used to moving and it just, I'm waiting for that moment when, okay, what's going to throw a wrench in the gears and slow everything down? What's not going to fit that you thought was going to fit, kind of thing?
Well, screw that. I'm always worried that the moving van will break down.
Where do you get your moving vans, Bill? Well, yeah, but it went well. And some people hung out, which I think was good for us. You know, we got pizza and had drinks for everybody. And, you know, so we got to sample the local pizza place, which is within walking distance. And,
that's good.
You know, and their pizza's good. So I'm like, all right, that's worth noting. And we just felt really supportive and I think really supported and very humbled by just, you know, the outpouring of people's time. And in the weeks since we've almost been here a month. Probably within 2 weeks, we had gone through most of the boxes and found places for stuff. And it went pretty quickly. You know, we were working at it a little each day. And so, yeah, you know, I think right now it's getting very close to being more or less the way it's going to look. So
that's good.
And I think that's helping both of our peace of mind. So mm-hmm. I'm feeling good about this change, and the neighborhood's nice. And, you know, we've met our neighbors, and our neighbors on one side, like within the first couple of days, they brought me some strawberry rhubarb pie and they brought me a strawberry muffin. And I'm like, I'll be your guinea pig if you just want to keep bringing food over. So
are they single? Shit, man, I'm moving to friggin' where you are.
You know, Bill, you might have a there might be some possibility there. Let me just put it that way.
Whoa! Oh, we got to talk later. Holy shit.
They have been away for a bit. I think they're on vacation. So but cuz we haven't seen their car in a while, but they're, you know, we met our neighbors on both sides. They're really nice. We have a small fenced-in backyard, which Audrey really is a fan of. And we bought a manual push mower, you know, without a motor.
Wow. And it's been working. Like a dad.
I know. It's pretty pathetic, isn't it? Yeah.
Johnny becomes a dad.
I'm okay as long as I'm just a cat dad. If I'm another type of dad, I don't want to know about that. So
Johnny, it's called Johnny skipping the Porter. He's going somewhere else. I'm out of here. Fuck this shit.
The tests found that you are not the father. Okay.
He went out to buy a Blu-ray and he never came back.
Yeah. He went out to buy a 50 movie pack of Blu-rays and never came back.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. At the gas station. But yeah, I just was like, the fact that things are kind of where they are right now, and you might want to elaborate a little bit, Bill, too. I mean, between what you're noticing and what you're hearing in terms of science and such. I mean, do you have any insights on like what is going on out there right now?
The only thing I know for sure is that the murder hornets are pissed off because they didn't even get 15 minutes of fame.
I was like, what murder hornets?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck them, pieces of shit. And they just like crawled in their holes. No, that's the weird thing is, you know, I want to do more research tonight. You know, I'm a medical copywriter and gets the fall of time. Things are very strange. You know, the real life horror. Through a friend, I know one family. The family got sick all at the same time. Mother, father, son. Mm-hmm. The son tested positive. Absolutely no symptoms at all. He was fine.
Okay.
The mother was sick a little bit. The husband went into kidney failure. They induced a coma, and he never got out of it. He died 4 weeks later. And it's like, what the hell kind of virus is this? You know, it's like, what's it? You know, it's just, you know, I hear all these horror stories. And, you know, and it's like, do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? Is it going to help you or not? Blah, blah, blah. You know, there's people who are dead set. I'm not wearing a mask and all this hostile bullshit. And it's like, shut the fuck up. You know, it's about, I see people who are scared. And if someone's scared, why would you make life worse for them? So just, I have a friend, he doesn't really want to wear a mask, but anyone who asks him, in fact, I'm giving him a scream out, Rob, mm-hmm. Rob Kleinel, you know, part of that, we call him the Mayor of Stroudsburg. He's just a really wonderful guy. But he really is wonderful because he's like, you know, it's like if somebody wants me to wear a mask, I'm putting it on. And he always carries it and he wears it to walk into places and all, which a lot of people do. And the cool thing is generally in town, you know, most people I haven't seen anyone being abrasive or assertive or anything like that. Like, I'm not wearing a mask crap. One friend told me she was at a store and a guy walked in and she was shopping. And the woman asked, sir, you need to wear a mask. I don't need to wear a mask. She said, sir, you need to wear a mask. What, to protect all these damn Mexicans who work here? Exactly. And she said they called the police on him, not to get rid of him, but to protect him from everybody. And it didn't matter what, you know, who, what ethnicity or anything like that. Everybody was like, who the hell are you, man? You know, it's like,
he's ready to get his ass handed to him, man, apparently.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, we hear about this crap on the news, but we don't expect to see somebody be that inhumane. You know, he's like ripping apart like some poor woman who's like just working at a store and she wants to be safe too. It's like, come on, don't be a dick. So other than that, I mean, it is weird. Like, I just saw a great buddy of mine, Joe Vallow. We went to grade school together, and I haven't seen him physically in many moons. And we got together, and it was like, you know, touching elbows and, you know, speaking across each other at an outdoor restaurant at a table. Mm-hmm. And it was great to see him, but it's, you know, there's such a loss of human contact. And, you know, one of the interesting things and I think it's really weird, is I know people who are single and they're living at home and, you know, they're living wherever they are and they're freaking out because they're so alone. Yeah. And I know other people, it's like I'm living with somebody and they're freaking out because they're living with somebody. And it's like, you know, and everybody was hoping against hope, like, it'll be like the flu, man. It'll disappear in the summer. And it hasn't disappeared at all. You know, it's not. And resurgence, you know, I just saw in, you know, certain states are having outbreaks more so than entire countries right now. And it's just like insanity and a lot of stupidity. But I don't know. We just stopped, my housemate and I, Cheryl, we were going to the gym. We just went back and it was like 20 to 25% like the the normal amount that you would expect.
Okay.
And, you know, and the gym's great. You know, you go in, you have to have your temperature taken, you have to wear a mask. Then when you're working out, you don't have to wear a mask, and they have all these shields up, which to me are like almost to like calm you down on a psychological level. But otherwise, it's like, what are they doing? So it's like, so
it's like a plexiglass thing in front of you, basically. Yeah.
Well, it's like on your sides, like between machines, and it's like, that's nice, but it's like, come on, you know, it's not doing anything. And the lockers are closed, no water fountains, all that stuff. And so they're doing a great job, but now it was getting busy. And as it was getting busy, I was reading all the other states that had all these increases, and it was like, ah. So we just got back to the gym. We're just trying to start to get into routines, and we're probably not going to go back.
Yeah.
Probably not going to go back, because that's one of the red zone areas for, you know, possible infection, you know, acquiring, you know. Yeah. And there's just so much weirdness around it. It's like, I have no idea how my body would react to it. You know, I don't know. And I don't want to find out. I mean, you hear people, you're like, oh, they recovered. Yeah, but they have lung damage. It might take them 5 years or maybe never to heal. And it's like, I don't want that to happen to anybody. So,
right.
You know, I don't know.
Well, and that's what I've kind of been hearing, Bill, is something kind of akin to that story you were telling me about the family who each person awful. Reacted differently to it.
Yeah, it's almost weird. I wrote a story once about like a nanobot that would pick on your weakness and exploit it and destroy you, and it sounds like a friggin' nanobot. No, it really does. It's like, oh, what do you have? Bang, you know, and.
Let me gobble it all up.
Yeah. And all these people having strokes because, you know, they're saying, you know, it really attacks the blood and, you know, diabetics need to be concerned and all. And it's just, you know, just err on the side of caution, you know?
Yeah, I agree, Bill. And, you know, fortunately, I feel like my experience is kind of similar to what you were describing. Like, more so when I go to the grocery store or go to Target or something like that, you know, where you have to go out and go inside a place, you know, for the most part, even when Levine and Wolf were starting to kind of relax the, you know, we have the red and the yellow and the green phase in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure how other states are doing it, but you know, when it went back into being the green phase, you know, my girlfriend was like, yeah, I'm still going to wear a mask. You know,
even
if they say I don't have to, just because I want to, you know, we want to remain safe. You know, we're both going out and wearing masks when we go out in public. And it's just, again, to what you said, it's like a common courtesy type thing, because basically, what's the saying? My mask protects you. Your mask protects me.
Right.
So it almost says more to me about the other the people who aren't wearing them. That's like, okay. It is like, all right, that's, you may give a shit, but you're implying to me that you don't, you know, by that lack of action. But
yeah, well, you know, early on, you know, the World Health Organization and the CDC weren't really up on the whole cloth masks thing, and they didn't say you needed it. Now they're saying, yeah, they're required. And it shift, you know, and guidelines shift when you have something that's new. You know, it's called a novel virus because it's new, not because it's in book form. And hey, thank you. Good night. And, you know, as they're learning, you know, if something can prevent something bad from happening, even by a small percentage, it's worth taking it. So,
right.
You know, and early on, they didn't, there's a lot of things they didn't know. And that's the sad part. You know, I know a lot of people like, how come they didn't know? Because it's fucking new, man. And they have to test it and this and that. It's not, that's why you can't create a vaccine in a week. That's why it takes months. And so that changed. And, you know, I think we're learning a lesson that, you know, a lot of Asian cultures, you know, have. Like, if you're sick, you wear a mask. To be kind to your, you know, fellow countrymen, and you know, not spread, you know, whatever you have. I mean, I would always throw students out, you know, especially in the fall. You know, they'd come in coughing, and I said, "What did I tell you? What's in the syllabus? Not to come to class if we're sick, right? Why are you here? Well, I thought I'd be here because did you see what was in the syllabus? Okay, you're losing your professional points for the entire week. You get a zero. You're disrespectful to the class. And this would be the same in the workplace. You'd be disrespectful to your fellow coworkers. Stay home. Get better. Work from home. Go away. And I'd throw them out. You know, it's like just fucking, I don't know, just care about people, man.
You know what's interesting, Bill, is I think I had, back when I was still going into the office, I'd gotten better over the last couple of years, but I used to be the guy who was like, oh God, if I don't come into the office, I'm going to miss these emails and they're going to stack up and blah, 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 you know? So right. I was that guy who would push himself to go into the office.
You and bastard.
I know. So I would have gotten a zero many times over in your class if I'd been in it.
You would have failed out, man.
Pretty much. I'd be like, okay, I got to take another class with Mr. Prystock and call off sick next time. Yeah. but I think there's that, not to interrupt, but I think there's that American, that sort of American mentality where in a lot of ways we work ourselves harder and have that mentality, that workaholic mentality where, oh, it's not more about the work. It's more about what you're going to miss if you're not there to do it, kind of. I think we're more concerned about stuff accumulating than actually giving 100% when we're actually in the office. But I think that's a problem we have. And I think that's why we have all these incidences of what, like heart disease and stuff like that, you know, because we just kind of work ourselves and push ourselves too hard, and why we have all these psychiatric disorders and such, because we're just pushing ourselves too hard all the time. Whereas in other countries, they value their workforce a lot more and give them, you know, them more time off or shorter work weeks, but they pay you what you would get for like an average work cycle. So, I mean,
right.
You know, that's a soapbox thing. You know, that's one of my.
No, I get it. I get it completely. You know, I'm lucky now. I work in an environment where it's very team centric, and if a member of the team, you know, something's going on, you know, the other people like, hey, don't worry, we got it, and they do. You know, it just happened this. You know, I was supposed to take a long weekend, and the hour before I was getting off of work, I got it poured. It rained and poured projects on top of my head. And I'm like, oh no. So I stayed late to finish one, and the senior copywriter was like, hey, Bill, give us the, don't worry about it. Send me all the rest. We'll take care of it for Monday. Don't worry about it. And that's great. That's, you know, one of my coworkers, she's such a wonderful person. Her father passed on and it was like, it's just, don't worry about it. Don't come back for a week, whatever, you know, we got it. And we did, we all got together. Who's doing this? Who's doing that? And it was fine. It felt good to help out somebody that's a team member that, you know, that you like. And, you know, it was one less thing for her to worry about is, you know, her family was grieving over, you know, that nightmare. And, so I don't know. I don't even know where I was going, but I'm here.
Well, no.
Murder hornets, sorry.
Well, and I can relate to some of what you were saying, Bill, because I think something that's helped me come around a little bit to the notion of, hey, I woke up and I feel like crap and I probably shouldn't come into the office is, you know, it's like something my supervisor talks about is, okay, so-and-so is going to be out for a couple days or a week.
Right.
Because it's vacation or whatever. And, you know, my coworkers are good at just like, okay, if anything comes in for me, you know, we'll cover it. You know, we'll cover your desk while you're out, you know? So it is really nice to have that, because I know some places, will just leave you to drown basically. You know, you go on vacation for a week or you're sick for a week and, you know, you come back and that stack of work just got bigger. While you're away and you just got to wade through it kind of. So, I think we're both in a really fortunate position, which I'm sure we discussed on the previous our previous COVID episode, just like that we can work from home, you know, we can work remotely and we're still getting paid. So, you know, whereas, you know, some people weren't, and some people now have to go back into a situation where they could be putting themselves at risk.
Yeah, I know. And I'm trying to remember offhand some horror movies that had that where like, hey, Bob, you don't look good. And, you know, shouldn't you be home? No, I'm fine. You know, and they go to, you know, they go to work and they end up infecting everybody. And then, you know, there's the zombie virus outbreak, you know. you know, in fact, I think what, Return of the Living Dead, you had a little bit of that. Hey, you guys don't look so good. But, you know, they hang on, you know, and it's like, big mistake, man. You should have put them down when you had the chance, or, you know, sequestered them. You know, and it's funny because I'm reading a book thanks to Debbie Rochon. She contacted Max Brooks, who wrote World War Z. He has a new book out on Bigfoot, and trying to get him on the show. Don't tell anybody. And we're working on it. And a cool thing, you know, I hadn't read World War Z because I saw the movie. I wasn't impressed with the film because it was a family-friendly zombie movie, which to me you can't do. Right. It had its moments, but so I got the book and I'm like, well, you know, and the only reason I bought the book, because, you know, Debbie planted the idea in my head, but, you know, I read the first page and that determines whether I get a book or not now, period. And it's usually one paragraph. And I read this and I'm like, ooh, this might be the horror book that I've been waiting for my entire life. So I got it, and it's a hard book to put down. It is so well crafted. It's so beautiful. I'm jealous of him because the fun he must have had creating this book that travels around the world interviewing people of the their experiences during this zombie outbreak of you know, World War Z. And the funny thing is, everything I'm reading, I'm immediately equating it to what's going on with COVID-19. Now, he wrote this in 2006. It was published. It starts off where the outbreak's in China, and they're trying to cover it up. It's like, Oh my God.
Wow.
And then we go from there. And I just read this, like, Cheryl and I were watching TV the other day, and there was a show on, you know, Celebrity Watch or something like that. Like, they're watching TV shows, so it's watching them watching TV shows. Like, how ridiculous is that? But he just had a similar scene, you know, where, like, these rich people were, like, were watching shows and reacting and stuff, and it was being relayed to other people. And it was like, I don't believe this crap. And the cool thing is, World War Z, like the great movie Shin Godzilla, which I highly recommend any Godzilla fan, any creature feature fan, anyone who loves monster movies as well. Shin Godzilla deals with something that it's not the whole book, so I don't want people to be like, oh, that doesn't sound good. But it's part of it is the politics of zombie killing. The politics of how do we look good? How do we protect people, not freak them out? And what do we do? What do we not do? And so he's going through talking to all these different people in different countries and cultures that he's had to, like, explore. And all the characters are different in their voice and tone. And it's so beautiful. And you're hearing, like, what their countries did and didn't do, how they tried to maybe cover up something, how they tried to blame other people. And it's just, like, that's what the whole world is going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Max Brooks did an excellent job. If you think you like the movie, I think you'll love the book 1,000 times more. It's so much of it is cinematic. It's like, it's so sad that they didn't, like, take a bunch of stories and make a film. But,
turn it into, like, a series or something that. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And if you love horror, and I don't like horror novels. I don't. They bore me. I'm an audiovisual person. I need the sound and I need the look. And that's why even erotica books don't do anything for me, really. It's like I need the visual component. So I'll take Pornhub, you know, give it to me. there's my scream out to Pornhub, who's probably Pornhub's probably saved a lot of souls over this COVID-19 outbreak. And
Well, I was gonna say the meme going around like at the beginning of all this was you have finished Pornhub after like a week.
oh man. But the book is really fantastic, and I can't wait to read what's next and how Max Brooks may have inadvertently prognosticated what was going to happen with COVID-19.
You know, Bill, I did read World War Z
Oh, damn it.
closer to when it first came out. So, I mean, I have it on my shelf because I like you. I just it's an amazing book.
It is.
Because I think it makes the zombie apocalypse feel very real. There's no like winking. There's no like snark to that.
No,
To
none
that
of it,
book,
yeah.
it feel like you said, all the characters have a distinctive voice. They all feel lived in, but they all feel very grounded in reality. There's no superhero, you know, there's no clear-cut protagonist. It's just all of these people in these various roles throughout the world relaying their experience. And I just thought it was fantastic and just a very inspired approach to a very tired subgenre
Oh yeah.
at that time. And I just, yeah, like you, I found it extremely compelling. And so maybe I'll have to take it off the shelf and revisit it, actually.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm reading it. And part of the reason was just not because of the movie, but again, it's like, well, horror books don't do anything for me. I've read so many horror novels, or tried to, and I bailed on them, I've read Lovecraft stories. It's like, okay, whatever. And we know Palco Designs, Greg Palco, he loves Lovecraft. And what Lovecraft did for Palco, Lovecraft didn't do for me. And
Me neither.
Stephen King has no effect on me at all. I'm bored. I want to commit murder just because I'm bored. And it's like people are freaking out about this. Even Clive Barker, I love Hellraiser. I tried to read the book and I'm like, nope. I just,
I think that's kind of our commonality. That's one of our commonalities, Bill, is that we're more. It's not that film is easier per se, because I think you can pick apart a film as we've done many times on this show.
And
You
we'll
know,
continue to do, yes.
absolutely. I feel like you can pick apart a film with as much, intensity and specificity as you can, like a thick novel, basically. You know, again, it all depends on is the person making the movie know what they're doing? Are they actually trying to make an effort, or are they just giving you some crap?
Yeah.
So it depends on all that. And I mean, the trade-off between good and bad art just runs across all artistic mediums. Yeah, I mean, to what you said, Bill, I mean, I would imagine that World War Z seems very relevant right now.
Oh man, it is. Every time I turn the page, I'm like, "Ooh, that just happened in the news like yesterday." Or,
God.
"Ooh, this world leader put their both feet in their mouth and did this," and it's like, "Oh my God. Love
Yeah.
it. Love it."
Yeah. And I just get to, you know, I just, Yeah, I mean, you were talking about the movie briefly, and that's something that I've said to my girlfriend, and I've said it to other people too, is I feel like I'm going through a withdrawal because the theaters are still closed, and I believe and I wanted to look this up before we recorded, but I didn't have time. I wanted to look up the latest on Regal's and AMC's plans tentatively to reopen, because the last I heard they were planning on doing it like the middle of this month.
Yeah,
But I don't,
I'm checking right now, man.
yeah, I'm not sure if that's still the case, because the big thing I was hearing was Christopher Nolan wants Tenet to come out in theaters per the schedule. So I'm like, well,
Why is he being a dick?
I don't know, but I feel like he's going to get a lot of blowback if he goes forth with it. It's like, I want to see that movie too. I mean, heck, it looks awesome.
Oh, it does. Yeah. No, I definitely want to see that. That's probably the only movie I've wanted to see in some time, other than Shirley, but which is on Shirley Jackson, the horror author, who I do like. I like her stuff. Well, I'm wondering if drive-in theaters are going to make a comeback.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Bill. We are lucky enough to have one about, it was about 10 minutes from our old place, so it's about 20 minutes from our new place. We're lucky to have one close by, and we've gone to it twice within probably the past month. Basically, my girlfriend was like, would you like to go to the movies? Would you like to go to the drive-in? And I'm like, would that help you mentally to go to a drive-in? I was like, yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I hadn't been since I was a little kid. And the one near us is playing, they're getting some special concerts in, I guess, via satellite or whatever, which I'm not interested in, like country music. But they're mostly doing what other drive-ins are doing, and they're playing like stuff that's a little older or more recent mainstream stuff. There's nothing new coming. There's nothing new being played.
Right.
But I think it's just they're providing this service. It's like, well, if you like going to the movies, but you can no longer go to a, you know, an enclosed theater.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Just so you know, Regal planned on reopening July 31st across the country. They originally said July 10th, but they pushed it back. AMC will be July 30th.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know, because I think I got an email from Regal when they were thinking about that and explaining their disinfectant protocol. And I'm like, that's a hell of a lot of disinfecting and seat monitoring you're going to have to do, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to sit in a room with a bunch of fucking people for 2 hours when someone who's asymptomatic is breathing out their shit. I mean, it's like, is it worth it?
Like, yeah. Well,
no,
and
it isn't. It's not to me. It's not to me.
Well, and that's what I was thinking, Bill, just to backtrack slightly, when Christopher Nolan was like being, I want Tenet out in theaters per the release schedule. And then A24 was like, oh, we're going to release, you know, I think it was when Tenet was getting pushed back a little. A24 was like, oh, well, we're going to release Saint Maud now. And I'm like, I want to see Saint Maud because it looks awesome. But I'm like, part of me is like, what is this one-upmanship now that you're doing? So, okay, you really want to see this movie and risk possible exposure to it? I mean, more power to you. It's like, part of me is like, why don't you just do what Universal was doing and release stuff VOD?
Right.
Because that's a revenue stream, and most people have access to that stuff. So if they really want to see it that badly, they will cough up the $20 to see it.
Well, that was weird, because Shirley, I think, was supposed to be released in theaters, and I got it off Amazon Prime for $2.99 rental.
There you go. How was that, by the way, Bill?
It was good. I think if you're a Shirley Jackson fan, you'd appreciate it. It's not what I expected it to be as a biopic.
Okay.
I gave it 3.5 stars.
Okay.
Elizabeth Moss is phenomenal. You know, the acting in it was great. I mean, it was solid. It's just,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after you see it.
Yeah, that's fine. Cause, true confessions, I haven't read any Shirley Jackson.
Well,
I have books of hers on my shelf that I've been meaning to read for years, but I have not gotten around to them yet.
Did you enjoy The Haunting from 1963?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The book is the book and the movie complement each other like few book, you know, book to screen elements do. So I highly recommend that. We've always lived in a castle. It's wonderful. And what else did I read? I think I have a list of things I need to read from her as well. Yeah,
I have the three books I have are like anthologies of her short stories and some of her longer fiction, like mm-hmm. Hill House and
right.
Castle and mm-hmm. some other stuff. So, yeah, it's not due to a not wanting to read her stuff. It's just I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, they found a lot of her stories after she died, I think, like in a garage behind a house kind of thing, and almost like Ray Harryhausen, you know, he had his garage full of all of his incredible craftsmanship, which, man, I was like, Palko and I were talking about, man, if we could only get into that garage. yeah, so there's more stories of hers. I think she wrote like hundreds of short stories.
Well, like I said, Bill, I have three books on my shelf, and I think, and each one of them has at least some short stories,
right?
And I don't think there's any overlap between any of the three books. It's that many short stories, so I'm like, if there is overlap, it's really minimal. So I'm like, holy crap, she did write a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she did. She was quite prolific.
Yeah. So. But going back to the drive-in, Bill, me and my girlfriend went to see the first time we went. It was a double feature of The Goonies and Wonder Woman. I've come to realize that I think The Goonies is actually a movie I don't ever need to see again.
you want to hear a secret, Johnny? Don't tell anyone.
Please.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah. I've never seen Wonder Woman either.
I think you'd like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, well, I've seen some stills. I'm sure I would.
Wonder Woman! Yeah, and actually Audrey will sing that every time I say that. Wonder Woman! I think you and Cheryl would probably... You'd both probably like that, if I had to guess. But yeah, The Goonies was just like... Yeah, I remember loving it and kind of... idolizing that movie when I was a little kid, and now that I'm like 39 years old, I'm like, oh geez, these kids are actually pretty freaking obnoxious. I want them to just shut up. Yeah.
You're more a fan of Monster Squad now.
Night of the Creeps. Yeah, probably Monster Squad. Yeah.
Night of the Creeps, man. That's
Fred Decker.
Yep.
But yeah, so it was good. You know, I mean, it's a long night when they do a double feature. We made it about an hour and a half through Wonder Woman, you know, before we went home. But and the most recent time we went, they were playing Grease, which I had never seen.
Oh God.
But Audrey was like, "You want to go see it?" And I was like, "I'll see anything once." So we went.
You're a whore.
Because she'd seen it before, and she was like, I'm interested to see what you think of it. And I think it's because some of the attitudes of that film are very antiquated and would not fly in today's climate. But I was entertained for about 2 hours. I never need to see it again. I can see how John Travolta became a thing because he is very charismatic, and I liked Olivia Newton-John too, but I was like, the message in the end is kind of muddled to me. It's like, okay, so you're going to become the woman this guy wants you to be, but at what cost to your, at what cost to your own personality and your own self are you making this change? Anyway, my point is you should never change to be with someone else. That's my point.
It's beautiful, Johnny.
Thank you, Bill. I occasionally have some Mark Twain-isms going on here. But so it was interesting, though, Bill, because the first time we went, the drive-in was practicing social distancing. Keeping a car length between each parked car, like an empty spot. When we went to see Grease, they were filling up all the spots.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of like, it's like, A, I don't like the fact that they're filling up all the spots, and B, I just don't like the fact that there's more people here. So I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know if they're loosening things up because of whatever or what, but I was kind of disappointed with that, and I was kind of a little discouraged by it because I'm like, I don't really want to get that close to people that I don't know where they've been, you know.
Well, that's it. I mean, like, I've been in a couple places where, you know, practicing social distancing, you know, outdoor eatery, you know, talking and stuff like that. I'm still like, okay, they say this is okay, but we're still pretty much on top of each other, breathing on each other. And it's like,
right.
And everybody's like, oh, no, I'm being safe. And it's like, did you say that to the last group of friends you were with? I mean, and the group of friends before that. So it's like, you know, you don't know. I mean, and that's it. You just don't know. I mean, I still think I had that dry cough for 10 days in January mm-hmm. before this was like, you know, before I even knew symptoms and all that. I'm still wondering, did I have it? It didn't even like, because I never get a dry cough. It's never, yeah. I never had a dry cough in my life. And it's like, where'd it come from? I was like, that's it. I've had it. I'm going to go to the doctor. And then it just went away. And I'm like, was that it? Do I have the antibodies now? I mean, I know my sister and brother-in-law, my brother-in-law had to go in. He was to get checked because he got bit by a tick, you know, and they wanted to make sure he didn't have Lyme's disease, which is really, really getting worse and worse each year.
Yeah.
And they were happy because they were both being tested and they were glad, you know, they're both free of COVID-19, but they were upset to learn that they don't have the antibodies. It's like, yeah, I mean, you sort of want that. Like, I think what everybody wants, like a sense of relief. And that's not coming anytime soon. I mean, no. One company said they're going to start producing, you know, a cocktail of, like a preventative measure vaccine, like in October, and the FDA is like, we're not rushing anything through. You know, we're going to do this. It's great. They're pulling. They're like, you know, no, we're still going to do this by the numbers. You know, you have to meet certain criteria for it to work, and which is great. And that's what people want. You know, that's what people should want. And I'm thinking, like, let's say we have a vaccine. Let's say we have it in October. So what company X is going to have to produce how many vials of this shit and how long, who gets it first? Who doesn't? Rich people get it first. I mean, like, you know, and I'm just saying, I mean, how's it going to be distributed? You know, if it's an American based country, okay. Like every American gets it first before the rest of the world, like, what are we going to do? And then you have the people like, I'm not taking a damn vaccine. And it's like,
yeah.
All right. So what do you do about that? You know, that's another age old argument, you know? And if the vaccine comes into town and they have like a lottery for it, not a Shirley Jackson lottery. and it's like, okay, I have to wait. Is that a good thing? Is it like when the new, you know, operating system for, you know, Mac comes out, I wait a month or two, you know, before I download it because people are always going to like, hey, there's this glitch, this bug.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was funny. We had the swine flu outbreak in the late 70s. And I remember we had to go to high school. We were getting our swine flu shots. And we didn't notice until years later. A lot of people got that shot and they died. You know, it wasn't like the cure-all. So, you know, I don't know how any of that's going to work. And I know it's just going to be another bureaucratic nightmare. Yep. And people are going to be screaming for and against, and you know, politicians, my state needs it, you know, oh, vote for him, and like, and all this crap. And it's like, it's just like, can't everybody just shut the fuck up and let's just, you know, do this in a controlled manner? And I just want to make sure that nothing is rushed through like the zombie virus killer in World War Z, which
exactly
that was so. I'm reading this and I'm like, oh my god, this is perfect, you know. And it just totally matches what's coming. And it still might be longer than October. We might have to go through a whole nother fall, you know, fall winter with this. Just doing what we are now, distancing.
Well, I feel like, Bill, we're kind of in the most entitled timeline right now because of certain people who shall remain unnamed, who are sort of taking petulant childlike behavior to new highs or lows. You know, it's very much this Veruca Salt, don't care how, I want it now, basically.
Give me the golden ticket.
Yeah, give me the golden vaccine. Yeah, to get rid of this COVID-19.
Palco, put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, but I just am like it goes back to what you were saying about just being considerate, showing consideration. Just wear the mask because it's going to help. It's all, you know, okay, maybe it's not going to save you, but it might help you in the long run. And the more people who do it, and the more information I see coming out seems to imply that it's, you know, things would not stabilize, but maybe mm-hmm. plateau a little bit better if everybody mm-hmm. if just everybody abided by these, you know, when you think about it, simple protocols, just be smart about it. And people don't even want to do that. So, I mean,
yeah,
I'm happy that when I go out, most of the time people are cool headed and yeah. most people are wearing masks at the grocery store or at Target or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, granted, sometimes they're not wearing it right, but you know,
yeah.
well,
yeah, put it over your nose, man. Put it.
Yeah, don't breathe onto it. Yeah,
breathe on me. Sorry.
When you're not strong.
Oh my God. no, it's like because I was looking through the mask article, the latest stuff, and it's like all the tests show it does prevent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not 100%, but I would rather have something prevent some, you know, something of a high percentage than not at all. I mean.
Yes.
No, I don't want to go to a hospital. I don't want to put first responders at risk. I don't want to put make my family worry, my friends worry. I don't want people who've been near me to worry. It's like, holy crap, I just saw Bill last week. You know, it's like,
yeah.
he's got it, you know. And I don't want to, you know, it's funny because how many articles have we seen about people who were like, pretty much the articles go like this. I had a cavalier attitude and now I'm dying. And it's like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
what the fuck? How many more of those like real life stories do we need to read?
Yeah. Well, and sometimes I feel like that the wrong stuff is getting the attention because, you know, some of this stuff is like a no shit Sherlock moment, you know?
Yeah, but like, it doesn't matter to a lot of people who are playing it dumb, you know?
Well, that's what I mean is when you got the person who's like, well, I ignored everything and I'm on a ventilator or something like that. You know, it's like, okay, well, these things are known. So why don't you report something we don't know kind of thing?
Yeah.
I
just think it's interesting. I think a lot of people have that. Ah, I'm not going to get it, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I don't know with this thing, I'm like, I'm scared that I'm going to get it. So it's like, you know. And I think that's a healthy fear. I don't think that's like, you know, I don't have paranoia in general. But I'm like, I need to just, you know, be careful. I wash my hands. Like we just went for a walk before the show came in, washed my hands. I pet a kitty cat, but, I know, beautiful little kitty cat. But normally I go out, come back, nothing, but I still wash my hands.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and I'm glad that's like become automatic. You know, So I don't know.
Well, Bill, I wanted to ask you about something.
Ask me, Johnny.
Well, I know you had a birthday recently, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Johnny.
But I know from what I heard on Facebook, Cheryl had planned kind of a birthday weekend for you, and I was wondering just what did you guys do, and did it involve kind of adhering to kind of the new normal that we have in terms of social distancing and sort of doing things a bit differently than you would normally or.
Yeah.
I
think that's why she was so sweet. You know, Cheryl, she is my best friend. You know, we've known each other since 94 and, you know, I'm staying with her temporarily and, she was just wonderful. You know, we went out for breakfast, we went out for dinners, social distancing, you know, outdoor seating, all of that fun stuff. One restaurant we did go indoors and it was amazing. They moved out half their tables.
Just nice.
Gone.
Nice.
And, they had like screens up between tables. There was nobody around us anyway at the one table, except for the two gentlemen working a sushi bar at the Sarah Street Grill. And,
nice.
Yeah, I'm doing a plug, man. I'm doing a shout out here. their sushi's awesome, and they were great. And I feel for every worker who's like, I got to wear a mask, you know. But I appreciated it, and you know, had a great meal and all. And it was just like, you know, stuff like that. We, you know, I think Watch Shirley, which I wanted to see.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, other than that, that was pretty much it. You know, kept it mellow. I took an extra day off from work to try and have like a mini vacation, even though it was a staycation. And, yeah. And it was just serene. It was cool. You know, it wasn't like, hey, let's go here and do this. It was more like, all right, where can we go that, you know, is safe and clean? We went to the Downriver Brewery as well.
Nice.
Definitely couldn't skip that. And
So did Cheryl request the music that they played there? Because they were playing some awesome stuff for you.
Dude, I'm going to tell you this, you know, my buddy Tom Sechak. Tom, man. He was a real sweetheart. He put on like this, you know, he played this, put on the punk music, and it felt, I tell you, I'm going to put it in my next book because it felt really strange. And I think it was Tom who said, holy shit, you knew that song from like the first note. And I was like, oh, that's so-and-so by the Stranglers. They did it then. This is what it, blah, blah, blah. And I would tell him a little story and nobody knows what the Taylor was there, Cheryl, and like, and they're like, nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about because nobody's ever heard these bands, you know. No one's ever listened to this music. It's like lost. It's like, that's why I always say like punk rock music can never age because no one's really heard it, at least in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know, Misfits song came on, and you know, well, you know, they had the Ramones, and you know,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I was like, oh, shit, that's Passenger, man. That's by Iggy Pop, you know. And that's really a popular punk song. And Cheryl was like, really? No, it isn't. I was like, Susie and the Banshees covered it. Alison Mosshart, you know, covered it. You know,
Lunatics covered it,
Lunatics covered it. I mean, the list goes on. And, like, but I'm talking about this stuff, and I felt like I was just talking to the wall because everybody's like, oh, that's great, though. And then I won a game. I won the first game of darts we played, so that was cool. And but yeah, Tom put that on. That was cool. Bought me a drink. That was great. And even though this person wasn't there, they were really, really wonderful and sweet virtually from a distance. During my birthday, because she was getting people to follow. To spread the word about my books for my birthday, I have another site, another Twitter page called Noir Kink for my Kink Noir book series, and the wonderful, lovely, vivacious, super hyper cool XXX BJ Fraser. She's a wonderful erotic writer. She was like, hey, it's Bill's birthday. Everybody like shares pinned tweet on his book trailer for Bloodletting, which Don Reamer made, and the great Owen McEwen quest. He narrated it, and that was really sweet. That was like going all over the place. So
that's awesome.
I was just really, really, really thrilled by that. So altogether, you know, I had an excellent birthday. It was great.
And Bill, did Cheryl rent out Downriver, or was it just kind of like,
no,
people were just social distancing in the place kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. It was a quiet night. Stroudsburg's weird. Every restaurant and bar says like it's like raining out and we're full, and it's sunny out and they're not. But then the next sunny day, it's full again, and Stroudsburg is just so weird. The people are great, and it's like you can never track if they're going to show up or not. But, and I think when we were dining out, you know, we ran across Rob, of course, Rob Kleinel, who we love. And, so that was really cool. And, then I think it was, what was it, the following night? Yeah. We saw Tom Sechak again and his lovely wife, Andrea, they're one of the hottest couples in Stroudsburg. You know, they're really sweet.
Yeah, they are.
They bought us a couple of drinks too. And, so that was just a blast. And
what was Sean out for any of this, Bill?
Sean, no, Sean wasn't. But I saw him the weekend before, so that was really cool. So
all right. Good.
Yeah, Andrew, Tom, and Sean, man, and Rob.
Wow, so
it was great. And even Steve Brancato, he's the guy who runs Banter's Cider, Hard Cider, and also the Downriver Brewery. So that was really cool.
Nice.
See him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you had a good weekend, Bill. That was you deserve it.
Oh, geez, thanks. I was just happy that it was nice. I got a chance to. It was funny because I was even wondering, okay, should I be eating sushi? Because this isn't cooked,
Yeah.
it's raw. And I'm like, all right, I don't think I'm gonna have sushi for a while. But I hadn't had it for like almost a couple months. So,
Oh yeah. Yeah.
but yeah, that was cool, man. Because sushi is a food group for me. If I could eat it morning, noon, and night, I would. So that
Oh,
was
I love it
great.
too. Yeah, I
Yeah.
love
Oh,
it
I
too.
know, man. Yeah, we'll do that, dude. When this is over, we're doing that.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, we need to schedule a time to meet up.
Yeah, with Palko, man. Palko loves sushi. Let's just.
Yeah, it was funny, Bill. I guess he told you this. He called me randomly like last Thursday or something like that. I was like, who the hell is calling me? And it was Greg Palko. And it's like I'd never talked to Greg like on a phone call. I know what he sounds like, but I'd never talked to him. So we talked for like an hour or so. So
Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah, I feel bad. The last three calls from Palko, I couldn't get to him because it's like as soon as my meeting would start, it's like Palko, and I'm like, man, or like, Bill, here's 20 projects. Oh, Palko's phone's ringing. It's like, I can't, man. I can't get the phone. So I hopefully tomorrow or something.
Yeah. So,
Great
yeah.
guy. His horror collection is insane. He has more stuff that's being created right now. I don't know. He needs to rent a warehouse soon or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm surprised he doesn't have a storage unit where he's putting his overflow yet. Yeah.
Oh, dude, you wait, man. You wait till you see his stuff up close. It's jaw-dropping, man. It's
Well,
incredible.
Bill, something you were talking about was you were talking about your Kink Noir Twitter handle, and something I was wondering, since it's been a while since we last talked, I was wondering what the status of the third book in the Bloodletting series, how that's going, and what's going on with it right now.
Well, it's in the process of it's been through the to the editor, my friend Angel, who's creatively Angel on Twitter. She's really wonderful. She went through it, and I think every writer needs to you have to look at her editor as a teammate, because they're going to make sure that your story's solid, your writing's solid, so you don't look like an idiot when you go, hey, I'm published. And so she went through the book. She was hoping, I think, hoping to take 2 weeks. She read it in 3 days,
Nice.
or a weekend, something like that. And I was just really impressed and happy. And, when I get the notes back, it's always like, okay, what do I have to do? Like, what do I have to, like, do I have to smash a wall or something? And I didn't. It was great. There were some, I probably followed like 99% of her edits. The cool thing was she left little like emotional commentary,
Oh, okay.
and it was great because I would write a lot of things and I wanted the reader to respond a particular way, and every time she p added an emotional response, I was like, "That's what I wanted." It was great. So
Excellent.
yeah, so I missed the hell out of her seeing her in person because I want to, want to, take her out as a thank you and all because she did. Such a great job, and right now it's being formatted. It will be formatted. The great Paul Belsey's working on the third cover. I'm going to be meeting with him tomorrow.
Cool.
He's fantastic. He's done many book covers in the past. He's done magazines and everything else. So, and he'll tell me, yes, you could use that picture because no, you can't use that picture. And it's just, and I'll just go, okay. Because that's his thing, he's the boss. So, it
So,
should be out hopefully the end of July, maybe sooner.
oh wow, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, Bill, is this going to be an ebook or will there be a paperback as well that you know
Both.
of? Awesome. I want a physical copy, even though for spatial reasons I shouldn't be getting more books. I'll gladly get your book, Bill. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm honored, man. No, and
No, I can't wait to read it. I've been wanting to read it since I finished Punishment, which was a while ago. So, yeah.
thank you. Yeah, and I'm taking notes for the fourth and fifth books right now, and I have an idea for the sixth. So,
Excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So do you feel it's going to be an ongoing thing, Bill, or do you have an end game in mind?
If I do, the third, the fourth book might destroy what that was originally going to be. Because if I'm gonna end a series, like it's gonna be like, oh wow, and he dropped the nuclear bomb in the middle of his story. Like it's gonna be, I'm gonna have to do. If I'm gonna end it, everything's it's gonna be like, freaking crash and burn and destroy and just total annihilation. It has to be so.
Okay. All right.
So,
There's something appealing about that
I
destruction.
yeah, I thought I already know what the last scene's going to be
Okay.
for this series end.
Ooh.
If when that happens, if it happens.
Okay.
And each book's a different color. I do a whole bunch of thing with themes, so it's like I got to get my colors squared away and what they mean, how they reflected in the story. And it's like, right, then what am I gonna do? Go to sub colors? Like, okay, one book was green, this one's mint green. Like I don't know. So it's like I think once the rainbow starts coming to a close, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Yeah, all right.
We'll see. But what about you, man? Because you're working on a book. People might not know it.
Oh God, Bill. That's been in a state of stalledness for a while, unfortunately.
Stalledness, is that a word?
Look it up. I think Merriam-Webster is going to add it because they added irregardless
I
recently.
don't
So.
fuck them. Fuck their. I only go with the English Oxford Dictionary. EOD, that's it.
I think all bets are off now that they've added
I
irregardless
know
to.
it's so. Scumbags, man.
Yeah, and for a time I was stupid enough that I was like, oh wait, this is when I would see that word or hear people use it, I was like, wait a second, is that a word? Wait, doesn't it just mean the same thing as regardless? Okay.
Yeah, they'd rather go with the connotations, social connotations, than the reality. And I think if there's any keeper of the English language, it would be Oxford. So I always go to Oxford.
Actually, that's when I was in college, I had a professor who was like, yeah, that's the quote unquote authority
Oh, yeah.
if you want to look up a word. So
Yep, exactly. Think
but
Jeopardy
yeah,
uses it, man.
Jeopardy.
Yep, everything's Oxford English based.
That's cool. I didn't know
I'm a
that. All
big
right.
Jeopardy fan.
Yeah, actually, my stepmom and my brother actually watch it every night, so
I do
But
too.
the book is in a state of stalledness in any case, and but I did start working on a new script a couple weeks before we moved. That was kind of put aside because of just all the stuff that went along with moving and then getting moved in. But I'm probably going to return to that sometime soon because that ties directly into the reason we moved out and.
I gotcha.
So it's a bit of my it's you could call it the start of my apartment trilogy, potentially. We'll see if that becomes a thing, but
Nice, man.
yeah, so I am working on stuff, and I have stuff I want to send your way once it's written, and
Ooh.
I intend to do that. Intend to get to work on that soon. It's just it's the time, so.
That's cool, man. Just write something, dude. I mean, your dialogue is amazing. You really need to write stage plays, man.
No, I know. That's why I was sort of leaning back into like script writing more so because I'm like that's where the dialogue's kind of the meat, and that's yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, man. Yeah.
Do it.
I know. Need to
Do it,
get on
Jonah.
that.
You better,
Do
man.
it. Do it, Billy.
Yeah.
Well, I think we strayed a bit further from our sub we strayed a bit from our subject, but at the same time, I did want to talk about the stuff that's I did want us to get into stuff that wasn't directly related to the pandemic, and I think we did that. So, and I wanted to sort of see where we were with what's keeping us sane throughout this, and I'm glad to see your book is. Your latest book is coming to fruition and nearing completion, and you know, that you're still getting out and doing stuff despite the way things, you know, the modified way in which things are now. Yeah,
go through, you know, go for a walk every day. And at night, you know, it's, you know, I live on Netflix and Prime, but I really wish that Netflix would bring in new horror movies, man. I really do. They're like, like I could go, like, I could like not look at Netflix. This is dramatization for like 3 months, go back and it's still like the same horror movies, but they added one. You know, Prime right. will add like 50, but it's like a bunch of people ran around their backyard with their iPhones and made a movie and they're crap. And it's like, come on. So I just want, you know, I'm hoping for better content, you know?
Well, and I know something that people have been saying is people are lamenting the fact that, oh, the movies stopped coming out. And well, it's like, there's still stuff coming out on streaming, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah. I guess like anything else, you got to separate the wheat from the chaff, but, you know, there's probably more,
more chaff,
more disposable stuff than, than lasting stuff. But yeah,
my horror self is starving, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, you know what, Bill, you know what I've been doing since we moved, what has been grounding me throughout the stress of getting settled and the stress of the way things are going? What? Like
masturbation.
Good. Close second.
Thanks for playing along, Johnny.
Close second, Bill. Good job. Here's a toaster.
Yes.
I knew you wanted that toaster, man.
Damn straight.
I got back into watching the original Twilight Zone because I'd stopped, or I was going through a stop start phase with season 4 because that's when the episodes were an hour long, and to me that just totally drained the momentum, and the messaging of each episode was making the show longer because 9 times out of 10 it was just. You're just getting pounded with the theme for an extra half hour because the episodes work better when they're a half hour and you can strike, you know, fast and make your point and then it's done.
Get out. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, I watched the last couple episodes of season 4 and I'm finally on season 5 where it's back to a half hour. And I'm so happy about that.
Awesome.
But that show is bringing me back to a sense of mental equilibrium, I guess, as strange as it might sound, because I'm like, these, you know, the cliche, the themes that show brings up are still relevant, unfortunately, in most cases to this day. You know, they continue to be relevant issues. And I do think there's something reassuring in seeing those certain things articulated in a certain way.
Yeah, but it's sad to see that we didn't move forward.
Well, no, I agree with that, which is why I was saying it's kind of strange that I'm getting a sense of mental equilibrium from watching that, because it's kind of discouraging that, oh, yep, you know, this episode relates to what's going on right now with this and that. And, you know, there is still that, and it is frustrating. But I just think there's something reassuring about, you know, the opening and closing narration from Rod Serling, like the calm and articulate way in which he delivers, you know, his monologues, how articulate the dialogue is of the actual episode itself.
Oh, yeah.
And the characterizations. It's just, it's for the most part, it's really good stuff. And I mean, unfortunately, you know, I don't look at those episodes and think, oh man, that looks dated, you know, that's a lame effect or something like that. Right. For the most part, those episodes still look fantastic.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, and, but yeah, the frustration again, and keep going back to the thing with the fact that, things aren't different. You know, or we haven't made more progress, or we're going backwards with progress, you know, and yeah.
No, I hear, and it's funny that you mentioned, you know, going back and revisiting Twilight Zone, because You know, I've been trying to find series to watch and dumping them, leaving the room because
Yeah.
they're crap. But like Jessica Calvello, who's, you know, been on a show before, she plays Hanj on Attack on Titan. Phenomenal actress. I know she's revisiting the whole, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer
Okay.
series,
Yeah.
which is awesome. So I'm like, I gotta do that, you know, like, because it's funny. Like, I know so many creative people who aren't really doing anything creative right now. It's like you just don't have the brain space for it because you're concerned. You know, it's not just about COVID-19. You're concerned about social justice and everything else, at least in our country. And nobody's talking about murder hornets again. But it's, you know, we need that escape. And, you know, movies are a perfect escape. So is music. And
Yes, yeah.
so I find myself revisiting a lot of older horror movies that I love because it's like, oh, this, because sometimes I'll spend 30 minutes to 45 minutes looking for something new and decent on streaming. So I'm like, screw this, I'm not wasting my time tonight. So I just got the Criterion War of the Worlds. So
Nice,
oh
nice.
yeah, it's awesome, man. I just love that. So I'm watching that. I just got you know, was it Vinegar Syndrome, Extra 3,
Oh, yeah.
because I think you told me about it and I was like, yeah. So, you know, I finally got that in. So
That's an interesting one for sure.
oh, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I don't know if I'm doing that tonight or not, but yeah, it's just, you know, you need to check your brain at the door and have a good time. What stupid movie did, oh God, yeah, John Wick 3, that's like ridiculous. And I'm like, it's not bad, 'cause I'm like, you know, like suffering over here, you know. I love the freaking Birds of Prey, man.
Oh yeah, I really like it. It was a lot of fun.
That was, yeah, that's what that was. It was, you said it. It was fun. I loved it. And God, I love her.
Oh
Love
yeah.
her. Oh my God.
I love what they did with her character in that
Oh
movie.
my God. It was phenomenal, man. It was great. It's like, and like when it ended, I was like, I wanted more. I want, you know, I want them to team up again. You know, I wanted, just want more.
Yeah, I hope they find a way to do another one at some point, you know.
Yeah. Oh man, it was such a blast. Such a blast.
Oh yeah, it was, you know me, I love Harley Quinn. So it was nice to see her get a movie more or less to herself, but with these other great characters surrounding her and kind of, you know, lifting her up in a way too, yeah.
Yeah, but no, it was just great to see like War of the Worlds again. And I always laugh because this is what I used to say when I was a kid. I said, oh man, this is when movies were white, because you could really put on there like no black people were harmed into making it this movie. They have one Mexican gentleman. That's it. Everybody's like, to me, the best ever. And I just laughed. I was a kid and I remember laughing my ass off. It was when worlds collide. Two worlds colliding, Earth is going to be destroyed. They only have time to build one spaceship, take like 50 people in it to get to this other planet and survive and thrive and everything else. So at the end of the movie, it shows them all in this rocket ship, and I started laughing. They're all white, they're all Americans. You know, that was it. And you know, it's like, oh, they're all Christians, and they're all, you know, they're all heterosexual. And it's like, wow. That is just so sad.
I was gonna say I watched last night. I watched a Nightmare at 20,000 Feet,
Oh, yeah.
the old Twilight Zone
Yep.
episode with the gremlin on the wing,
I hated
and
that
I
gremlin.
believe there was one black actor on that episode, and he was just you see him briefly, and he's like getting situated in the airplane seat, and that's all you see of him. So it's like, yeah.
Crazy. Just
Yeah,
crazy.
I know. It is. It's like I'm glad in a lot of ways I'm glad we've gotten past that. You know, I'm glad there's more diversity, you know,
Well, I hope
out there. Yeah.
I hope Hollywood really lives up to the diversity, because I remember I was in when I went to Shriek Fest, which was awesome,
Yeah.
in 2016. You know, the whole diversity issue had come up. You know, and as it should have, like, you know, 40 years beforehand and whatnot, right from the beginning. But anyway, everybody's talking about, you know, we need, you know, more diverse films, more women directors and writers. We need more, black actors and all too. And it's great. All I'm seeing around me are Mexicans. I was like, no one's talking about the poor Mexicans that are serving, you know, Los Angeles because they're, you know, they're all in the service industry.
Right.
And it's like, when are we going to see them in movies? Because they live all around here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where are they? And, yeah, but it's funny. I fell in love with Los Angeles. I think a lot of that had to do with Denise Gossett because she's just so beautiful and amazing, and Shriek Fest was so phenomenal. So, man, this is like Scream Out night.
Yeah, I know you want to go back there too at some point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I wanted to go to Shriek Fest last year, but I just couldn't with my job. Because that is the best horror festival I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah, I loved listening to you talk about it a few years back after you came back. It was just cool to hear all the stories about it.
Yeah, it was just wonderful. Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. So, oh man.
Well, Bill, do we have any Scream Outs now that we've determined that this has been our all Scream Out show?
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we just do five more, and we'll do that. Or do you want to do? Or I can hold them for the next show. I'll hold them for
it's up to you, Bill. You know, I did want to say something though to anybody who's made it this far, and hopefully you all have. And I was just going to say, feel free to reach out to us on social media. I'm interested to hear what other people are going through with the pandemic. You know, how are you dealing with things? Like, what's helping keep you? What movies or media are helping keep your head above water, keeping you sane? You know, I'm really interested to hear what other people are doing and how things are in their neck of the woods. So I just wanted to throw that out there if people want to share their experiences.
Cool, man. I like that. I say we leave the show as is, man.
Okay, sounds good. So where can people find you, Billy?
Right here, Johnny.
Awesome.
You could find me on, forget it, CrashPalaceProductions.com for links to this show and more. We also appear on Spotify and iTunes, and we'll be getting back to our rock-solid, regularly scheduled horror programming next time. I have no idea what we're going to do yet, but Johnny does because he's the brains of the outfit. And you could also follow me at Crash Palace on Twitter and at Noir Kink for my Kink Noir series of novels on Twitter as well. Johnny, what about you, man?
You can find me at Crash Palace Productions as well, because Billy's a nice guy.
Please.
And you can also find my writing at 1428 Elm. Shout out to another person who believed in my writing, Susan Layton at Susan on the Ledge on Twitter. So, yeah.
Love. Love, love, love.
Yeah, right, she's been a great supporter of us for many years now, so I can't thank her enough. Yeah.
No, and she's going to come out here when this shit's done, and we're having a cider at Banner's Hard Cider. And go down to Down River Brewery. We're going to go down there as well. And
I'm waiting for that day, man, because I'm there with bells on when that happens.
Ooh, I like that. That's sexy, Johnny. Holy shit, an hour and a half? Fuck that, we're out of here.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Bye.